you've gotten caught up on what's happening all around our church campus, I want you to get caught up in what God has to say on today. Why don't you open your Bibles to the 10th chapter of Mark. It's good to see you this morning. I got three people who might say the same thing about me. Good to see you all. But I'm eager to get into the Word of God on this morning as we've been praying in this season of our church family. And I believe that God has something very special in store for each and every one of us. There's a challenge that He has before us that I want to invite you to prayerfully consider. In fact, as you're turning in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, you may have already seen that the handout that was inside your worship folder called Your Serve. It's Your Serve. It looks just like this. I want to make sure that you grab a hold of that, and I want you to put that in your Bible. That is, if you have a paper Bible, put that in your Bible right alongside of Mark chapter 10. Now, I can't help you if you turned on your Bible. Just hold, I guess you hold it in your hand. But I want you to prayerfully consider that it is indeed Your Serve. You heard Emily did a phenomenal job in presenting our message during the welcome, presenting our scripture of the day. Why don't you help me thank God for Emily? Help me thank God for her, for our praise team, our media ministry. Emily, I don't know where you are. I know you're in here somewhere. You did a wonderful job. Thank you so much for participating in our worship time. Mark chapter 10, particularly at the 35th verse, is where I'd like to begin our reading. If you have it, you see words similar to these. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." We want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. We want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And Jesus said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, we're able. And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it's for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. Indignant disciples. Who knew church folk could be indignant? And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever will be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." With the help of the Holy Spirit, we want to talk about responsive service. Father, as we engage your word, we ask that you prepare our hearts to be receptive soil for the seed of your word, that it might be planted deep, that it might grow roots and cultivate fruit for your glory. Help us to hear from you, that we might serve you better and love each other more. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say it was back in 1961. Come on back with me, son. Back in 1961, before I was thought of. But many of you all may have remembered it or have seen footage from it, or maybe you've heard it played some time ago. Pastor George, you know this. I think you were around. 1961, really January 20th, a young man stood at a podium, and he was dressed to the nines. Some of y'all don't even know what that is, but it's okay. Stood at a podium at his inaugural address. And I heard somebody say, see, I got some history buffs here. And he made a refrain that I think is still known till this day. Ask not what your country, but what. See, all the seniors are on this side right here. Nobody. I got a few. He knew it. That's right. John F. Kennedy said that in his inaugural address. Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Tanya, I believe he pulled that inspiration from Holy Writ. I believe he did, because, you know, there are certain things that you hear that you'll never forget. And when you consider all that Jesus says, I want you to read it with fresh eyes, that you will never forget it. Particularly when he says that the Gentiles, those who are lord over the Gentiles, they lord it over them. But he says, but it shall not be so with you. Go and help me preach for a moment. Just know your neighbor, say he's talking to you. I see that? You don't know how to follow directions. I'm going to tell you one. He said, it shall not be so with you, but rather those who be great in the kingdom of God must be servants. That's the words of Christ. Because greatness with God is better understood not as status. I really want you to get this. But as sacrificial service. And I have some concerns with the body of Christ, Tyrone. I have concerns with us. See, we live in a country. We live in a community. We live in a society that has a myopic ego centrality about itself, where only three people are important. Boy, I knew you were in this place. Yeah, just me, my. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I went back. Some of y'all don't know about that. Me, myself, and I. So much that this ego centrality has crept in to the body of Christ. Can we be real for a moment? It's when we become more concerned with our comforts and conveniences than we are with service. I'm concerned when, Curtis, we find ourselves more interested in what's in it for me. When we have these expectations of self-aggrandizement. When it's all about us. When they play the songs we like. I'm going to look at my musician right now. I ain't going to look at nobody else in here. When the choir sings the kind of music that I like. When the temperature boy, I'm meddling today, boy. Lord, help me through here. It's what I like. When I'm sitting in my We get so caught up in our comforts, and don't look at nobody right now, because I'm really just talking to the person who's wearing your shoes. And we get so caught up in our comfort. What's in it for me? That we slip on a slippery slope of worshiping self. I have a concern. Because the truth is, it's supposed to be all about God. And when we come in this sacred space, it's supposed to be all about Him. When we sing the songs, we're supposed to sing it unto, I got some choir members up in here, sing it unto Him. When we come and gather in this place, we want to hear from Him, because the truth is, for the believer, it's supposed to be all about, you got it. And when it's about Him, our lives are lived in response to what He's already done. It's right there in the text. You saw it. You heard it. You read it. James and John, you know, those sons of Zebedee, James and John, you heard it, right? They came with an unrealistic, a self-centered, self-serving kind of request. I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about your name. I'm talking about James and John. When they came to Jesus, they said, "We want you to do whatever we ask of you. We don't even want to tell you what it is yet. We want you to commit to doing it before we tell you what we really want." James and John had an expectation of God to be as Rabinowitz, who said, expectation of God of being that cosmic bellhop, that He comes when we call, that He does what we want Him to do. Forgetting that He's God. And we've got that thing inverted, because the truth is, we're supposed to be doing what He wants us to do. So they come to Him, right? They come to Him and they say, "We do whatever we want you to do." And Jesus said, "Well, what it is that you want?" And you heard it in the text say, "Well, we want to be in your glory. We want status. We want position. We want to be on your right hand and your left hand. We want to have a name title. We want people to know us. We want people to know our status." And what's interesting is that James and John, if you follow their tenure with Christ, they already had favor with Christ, because if you follow their tenure with Christ, Christ called them individually. They already were walking with Christ. They were with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. They had seen Christ transform lives. They were with Him when He raised the young lady from the dead. They were in the inner circle, and yet with all that Christ done and exposed them to, they still had a self-seeking expectation. "Well, God, you're here to serve me." I'm not talking about, I'm talking about James and John. And the truth, brothers and sisters, that God has an expectation of His children. God has an expectation of His children to serve Him by serving others. I told you, all you have, your hand now, it's your serve, all you have it, because God wants to call us first to evaluate your motivation for serving. Can I just talk to you for a moment? Because here, James and John in our text were seeking for status, and the other brothers got mad at them. Okay, let me use Bible language. Got indignant. You ever met some church folk like that? Don't look at anybody right now, but you, all eyes here. You ever ran across some folk who were just stuck on being mad? I was gonna say another word, but it wasn't gonna come out right, Austin. I'm in church. You ever saw anybody that looks like there's never any joy on their faces? Don't look at them right now. Look at me. They were indignant. They were infumed. They were enraged. Not because of the request. I like what Pastor George said. They weren't upset at the request. They were upset that they didn't ask it first. Everybody seeking power. Everybody seeking status. The truth is, God is calling us, even in light of this, to evaluate, why do we serve? Because if we're serving to be seen, then you already have your reward. If we're serving to be in favor with the right folk, then that's not serving God. Why? If we're serving it because we just want God to bless us, even that is the wrong motivation for service. Because I don't have to live with you to find out that God has already blessed you. Man, let me talk. Has God blessed anybody up in here? Grandma will say he woke you up this morning, started you on your way. But has God kept you in your right mind when you realized you were trying to travel here on 290 and Jones was closed on both ends? I think half our church members are already still on 290 right now. Y'all to pray for them. But God has kept you. God has already blessed you. God has already served our greatest need. Why do you serve? Because I submit to us, brothers and sisters, that our service should be in response to what God has already done. You're not with me just yet. That the reason we serve and we greet and we forgive, and when people don't look at us the right way with joy, like some of y'all looking at me right now, that we are still able to love them. Why? Because God loved us. That we're able to forgive because God's forgiven us. That we're able to support others because when we were weak, God came in and sent somebody to help us be strong. It's in response to. I need to talk to some parents for a moment. If you got kids still living in your house, let me see your hands. I got to figure out where y'all are. Yeah. I see why you don't sit by them. There's kids still living in your house. I often have, my kids should say amen to this. I often have conversations with them about expectation. About gratitude. I often have conversations about them, Brad, because for some reason, my kids, not yours, mine, they always want stuff. Mine. Every now and then, I got to break it down to them. I do. I got to break it down to them. I say, you didn't say thank you for what you already got. And they look at me with that puzzled look, the same look that some of y'all kids look at you at. I said, don't you live in this house? I got that for you. The air you using right now that you letting out because you keeping the door open? We pay for that. The lights y'all keep on in the daytime? I'm sorry, y'all. I had this conversation last night. It's kind of fresh on my mind. All that we do for you, and then I ask you to wash the dishes, and you look at me like that while you're playing a game that I bought on the phone, that I bought on the network, that I pay for. I'm sorry. I'm in my feelings right now. I can't even look at them. And yet we come before God the same way. God, give me whatever I want. Give me whatever I want. And God said, when are you going to do what I want you to do? Always want our hands out, but never want our hands up and out for service. It's always give me, give me, give me. And God said, I already gave you the greatest gift, and that's me. I gotta hurry on. We gotta evaluate our motive for service. But the truth be told, when we continue to look at the text in James and John, we can learn from them. Because Christ doesn't come with some ultra rebuke, but rather he gives them a realignment. He doesn't rebuke their ambition. They had personal ambition of grandeur and greatness, but he realigns it. Really follow the flow of text. Because he asked them a question. Are you able to drink from the cup that I drink from? Are you able to be baptized, submerged in? So the cup here is an illustration of pain and suffering. He says, are you able to serve me through suffering? Are you able to be submerged? Baptism here, submerged in trouble for my name's sake. And you read text, right? It said very quickly, we can do it. And Jesus says, you will. Because when you follow Jesus, you ought to expect persecution. Let me talk some real folk in here. When you are following Jesus, you ought to expect that everybody's not going to like you. When you are a child of God, there are some things you stand on that everybody in the world may not understand, but guess what? You stand anyway. They may not understand why is that you're always feeding the hungry. They may not understand why you're always giving and giving and giving. Well, I wouldn't give that much to a church. They don't understand that because you don't know like I know what God has already done for me. So brothers and sisters, he realigns them so that they could see clearly his way. That our service is not about us. Our service is all about what God has already done for us. So we have to exchange personal ambition, get this, for Christ-centered living. Christ-centered living. Look what he says. He calls them together. And he says, there's some things there should not be with you. And there's some things that must be with you. I'm in text. He calls them together and he says, you know how in the world, those who have authority, they rule it over other folk. He said, but it's not supposed to be with you. He said, no. Whoever's going to be great must be a servant. Where we got our word ministry from, must be a minister to others. He says, anybody who wants to be great, they must be a slave to all. They must be in service. This is rough language here. It's rough language that you want me to serve everybody? You want me to be a blessing to everybody, particularly those in the household of Christ. Because if you're following Christ, you know that Christ came giving. Oh, I wish I had some Bible readers up in here. He came giving. He gave his life that you and I might be able to live as part of the family of God. He came giving to us. And if we're going to follow him, we got to be servants. We got to be willing to serve in his name and for his glory. I told you it's your serve. You have the handout here. You have it. Some of you all you hadn't completed just yet. But here's the deal: when you are living for Christ, everything you do ought to be service. When you're following Christ, the way you behave at school is your service to God. The way you behave at home is your service to God. The way you work at your jobs is your service to God. The time, talent, and treasure you commit to in the body of Christ is your service to God. And every need the church has, God wants to use church members to fill it. You have your handouts, don't you? I want you all, some of you didn't take notes yet, so let me give you some notes to take. I want you to fill your name out right now. Because today is your day in response to what God has done and is doing in your life for you to serve God by serving others. There's so many needs in the church, the body of the church. And God wants to use you to fill that need. But get this, it's not about you. It's all about him and who he's calling you to serve. He shifts James and John's perspective and he calls them all together and say, listen, y'all, if you all are going to follow me, you have to live a life of service. Because service is not a seasonal activity. There's only one retirement program in God's kingdom. I'm trying to help you understand something. So if you're still on this side, you haven't retired yet. In fact, God is not done with using you to be a blessing to others around you. In fact, God has assigned you. There's some people who need to hear from you. There's some people who need to learn from you. There's others who need you to step up and serve so they can really see what it means to live a life for Christ. Have you found your place of service? Christ says if you're following him, you ought to be serving every day and every moment of life. He realigns them, and as he realigns them, they exchanging their personal ambition for Christ-centered living, he's now challenging us to really evaluate what we spend our time on. Really evaluate what we give our time to. And answer for yourself. Chuck, we got answers for ourselves. And all that God has done and is doing for us, how much are we really doing for his glory? Oh, I'm glad your phone rang just now. That tells me that you have an opportunity, because some of you didn't bring an ink pen to church, and I get it. But you do have your cell phones. And I want to go ahead and pull up that graphic, Ricky, text to serve. I'm so glad the phone rang. I'm just so grateful how that happens like that. Because I really want you to continue to align your life that your life reflects the God you say you love. Christ served our greatest need. Now can God count on you to serve his church, to serve his So you have your cell phones out. You're ready to check the time. You see I'm still in a good time. So go ahead and text the number. Because there are places for you to discover what God has gifted you to do. You know, some people didn't know that they were able to sing until they joined the choir. Some people didn't know they were able to serve in preschool until they joined the preschool ministry. Some people discovered they were able to teach when they joined life groups. I really want you to hear me. God has gifted you to serve. He's gifted you to serve. And please, don't be like some young people I know, Brother Al. There's some people that I know that out of my generosity, I give them some money. Some people I know. And then when we pull up at the store, and I turn to them and say, hey, any of y'all got a dollar? With all that I gave them, they start walking backwards. Like, I know he ain't asking me. Now, I'm being facetious, but brothers and sisters, hear me. I really want you to consider how much God does for us. Yeah. how much he gives to us. Think about it. While we were yet sinners, before we knew to call on him, Christ, God demonstrated his love and he gave. Christ Jesus came serving. And he's still serving. And I'm not trying to guilt you into service. No. Don't misunderstand me here. I want you to reflect it on it, all that Christ and God does for us. I want you to reflect on it because in response to it, it's why you should serve. In response to his goodness, I serve. Why do you keep on loving? It's in response to his goodness. And we express gratitude for God through our servitude to others. There's a ministry. Before I talk about the ministry, Sister Helen Gay. Have you heard that name, Sister Helen Gay? Sister Helen Gay saw a need in this community. She saw a need in this community, 3 miles away from our campus. She saw hungry children, hungry families, and from her kitchen, she began to meet a need. From a kitchen, she began to serve one family, then the next family, then the next family. And now that one act of obedience, that one act of service grew into a ministry called the Mission of Yahweh, now serving countless men, countless women and children, feeding them every day, giving them a place to call home because she was willing to serve. Because someone else was willing to serve, we're here today. Because saints that came before us were willing to serve, we now sit in this edifice. Because people were willing to serve, we know the Lord. Because people were willing to teach, you know Bible. Because your Sunday school teacher back in the day told you, for God so loved the world that he gave his. I knew you knew it. Only by saying that, whoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. Because someone was willing to serve, you found salvation. In response to your salvation, are you willing to serve? God has gifted you to serve. God has saved you to serve. Evaluate what's your motivation for service. And wherever you're out of line, exchange that to follow Christ's example. Because this is how he concluded this teaching moment. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve as a ransom for many.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.